Aren't you going to say something? Oh, you want me to?
No. That was perfect. When you said, aren't you going to say something? That's going to be like our intro thing where it's like a jokey thing. And...
Oh, I like that.
Hey, guys. Welcome to Command SK. This is our podcast that we're starting up. And so this is the first episode. And just to get everyone started on the same page and aligned with what this podcast is going to be about, who we are. So me, Karan, and...
Me, Shreyak, and yes, that sounds like Shrek before anyone says it.
Yeah, so we're going to be discussing quite a bit of different things on this podcast, but just a little bit of background. We're both currently students. I'm an undergraduate engineering student, and...
Well, I'm a grad student studying e-health.
Yeah. So that's kind of our background, and why we created this podcast or started this podcast was we wanted to... or we thought that there was maybe an underrepresentation of people our age, you know, voicing the thoughts, perspectives, and just having their voices heard in terms of the podcast landscape. And we wanted to maybe help change that. And so we want this podcast to be about, you know, for lack of a better word, millennial perspectives or millennial thoughts on different topics like entertainment, like tech, health, fitness, things that we're interested in.
And I think a lot of the time too, a lot of these like podcasts and YouTube videos that you see that are geared towards millennials or younger people, they kind of glorify what people our age go through, but the truth is it's not as black and white, it's not as pretty or as funny. So we want it to really bring this podcast to you in a way that it's relatable, really relatable to people our age and the kind of things we're interested in and the struggles we go through as well.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And yeah, I think we can definitely help create more discussions around these types of topics and just by talking about naturally what we would talk about amongst ourselves and thoughts that we would have and share, I think we can build a good discussion, good community around what we want to be conversation around important topics that affect us. And that might not get as much attention.
Right. And the reason we're doing this podcast as well is because we want to create an environment where it's literally, you literally feel like you're engaging with content that's you would discuss with your friend. I mean, me and Karan are our best friends, unfortunately, but so we wanted to bring that to more people our age and just get a conversation going and just create a place where you can come and talk to us pretty much.
Yeah. So we think, you know, there's a lot of fun stuff, a lot of important stuff as well that we really want to get out there, but also just share with other people. We hope that this podcast is the beginning of something great. A little bit about ourselves, a little bit about why we started this and what we want to try to do with this. And with that, I guess we can get started on really things that we found interesting. So right now it's like, this past week, what have we either uncovered, discovered, or gone through that we'd like to either share or talk about? And
That, let's talk about the weather.
Oh yeah, of course, yes. So small talk. The most,
right?
Yeah, the most fascinating, amazing, awesome, fun topic that you know people love to just discuss all the time. Because actually, so we're both Canadians, and right now, as everyone hopefully knows, it's winter in Canada.
Quote unquote winter. You can't see me, but I'm holding up air quotes. Quote unquote winter. I mean, it's 6 degrees right now in the GTA, and we are. I mean, it's summer pretty much for us, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. We just went through a pretty extreme, I would say, or you know, just standard for Canadian winter period. Like over the past few weeks, past month or two, December and Jan, and it was kind of a really harsh cold for a lot of time. But then now. If I look at the forecast, I'm taking a look at the forecast right now, and it's showing like +6, +7, +6 or something like that near where we live, near Toronto, for the next week or two in the forecast. And that's kind of crazy and kind of unexpected, but for me, it's kind of delightful as well. So I'm not complaining.
I mean, I don't know about him, but I mean, Karan, I'm definitely complaining because it's just, first of all these temperature fluctuations, and I told you this before, it makes my head hurt. Like going from -10 up to -6, down to -30, back up to -2, it makes my head hurt and I get sick. So it's like, I want I mean, global warming is real, people. We need winter back so that we don't get sick and that the environment survives and shit like that.
All that shit, yeah, all that stuff. Great. Yeah, the weather is crazy, but like, even as Canadians, you never get used to it. One time, I remember, I was walking down the street downtown Toronto, and on one side of the street, it was sunny. The other side of the street, it was almost straight down the middle, raining, and it was like a scene out of a video game where they had a glitch with the weather system, and it was like, is this real life? And then I saw a rainbow, and then I was like, yeah, this is not real life.
So legit scattered showers.
Yeah, oh yeah, legit scattered, yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyway, so now that we got that small talk out of the way, literal small talk about the weather, we'll start talking about like interesting stuff that we have newly, found, discovered that we want to talk about. And we can start with...
health and fitness, right?
Yeah, so because...
Because? Oh, well, I mean, New Year's resolutions, how are they going, guys? I mean, my New Year's resolution, I mean, I try and always say that I'm not going to make a New Year's resolution, but I always make the same resolution, which is to lose 10 pounds. And it never happens. So, what do we want to talk about first?
I don't know. I guess, like, first we'll, I guess, maybe give a bit of background, like, what our interests, our passions are, where we kind of lie on the spectrum of health and fitness. Like, so, like, would it be correct to describe yourself as more of a general enthusiast in this field? Like, just, you know, like, who cares, you know, not to say in a bad way, an average person who wants to just eat healthier, exercise more, and, you know, lead a healthier life.
I think I'd describe myself as the average Joe of being healthy, or even better, like my dad always likes to say, jack of all trades, master of none. Like, I, when it comes to leading a healthy lifestyle, I can do everything, but I don't have the same goals that you do necessarily. So, like, Tell people about yours.
Yeah, sure. Also, master of none, not affiliated with Aziz. I'm sorry. I just had to say that. I'm sorry. Oh, man. I'm going to get, hopefully, not any flack for that. Anyways, so, yeah, for me, I'm more into a little bit more hardcore. So, like, I'm interested in natural bodybuilding, just not professionally, but as a, you know, as an interest and as an area of passion. So right now, I'm working on building the best physique that I've ever built and trying to, you know, lift more weight than I've ever lifted and, you know, get good. That made no sense. get jacked. Yeah.
Get jacked.
So yeah, right now, you know, just general like muscle building and hypertrophy goals. And so I'm more in depth in terms of researching into things, into looking at the literature, into, you know, just reading, listening, watching to videos, knowledge about the area. Specifically with fitness and stuff.
And he's this guy's a freak of nature. He knows literally like the calories for pretty much everything.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it's come with years of practice, right? But yeah. Still.
Yeah. A calorie count. But we'll get into a lot more of that, the health and fitness. But like, I just wanted to talk about, so this week, I think it was this week or last week, so I follow Menno Henselmans. So he's a internationally well-renowned natural bodybuilder coach. He had a statistical background with a master's in statistics, I believe, and then worked for big companies and then started his own essentially brand, which is built on the philosophy of science driving forward like exercise science. So he calls it the Bayesian bodybuilding approach. And so any of my friends who know me know about Bayesian bodybuilding. I talk about it way too much. But he released an article on his website. Fantastic article. I really like it. It's called Is Aspartame Safe? So, you know, aspartame is an artificial sweetener that's used in a lot of food and drinks, you know, to as a replacement alternative to sugar, right? And so, you know, people, if you're a general consumer, you might look at this artificial sweetener and you think, you know, it's unhealthy. I think it's worse than sugar. Think it's the devil. Think it's probably has all these side effects or all these effects on your body and all. So just to kind of clarify that for the layman, but also for someone who is wants to look at why, so the science behind it. This article sums up and talks about in a great, an easy to digest fashion, essentially talking about answering the question, is aspartame safe? And so this article essentially goes through, you know, what happens chemically, and so why people might be afraid of it. So psychological reasons behind why someone, you know, taking a look at from what their understanding and knowledge that they've gotten about aspartame from media, from reading online, whatever it is, and then what preconceived notions they form of the specific ingredient itself, or the specific compound that is aspartame. And so this article talks about the chemical breakdown, its effect, and essentially the take-home messages: is aspartame safe? The answer is yes. And of course, the longer answer is the toxicity, of all items have different levels of toxicity. So that depends on, it all depends on the dose, right? So it's, the poison is in the dose, depending on what item it is. It could be water and it could be poisonous if you drink too much water.
The famous saying, the dose makes the poison. Yeah,
exactly. So, for one of the most widely studied and backed things for use in, in food as an additive or, as a sugar replacement is aspartame. And so the reason it is able to be used in things like diet soda is because of the level of not only research and study and testing that's gone into it, but, also the fundamental science behind all of the chemicals that go or that make up aspartame. And so as an example, the part of the take home, the minimal or the amount of aspartame to consume to make it poisonous for a human is such a large amount that it's pretty much inconceivable for the average human to ever even get close to to be affected by aspartame. And it essentially says, it's the most popular sweetener in the world for a good reason, because the safety record of it is such an impressive one. So that's just an interesting article I found. Of course, it has a lot of detail, goes into depth, but it's not too long or tedious to read, and anyone can essentially get not only the big points, but also the finer details about aspartame and why it's safe from that article. So I definitely will link it in the show notes. Recommend it. It's great stuff.
No, and I definitely think here's the thing. Like, I read the article and the way they explain the chemistry, it makes sense that in kind of layman language, the aspartame is basically broken down into less harmful substances that then are excreted through the body. But at the same time, it's like it's still in your body for however long it is. So it is going to have some kind of an effect. It may not necessarily be a harmful effect, but that's where, this is kind of we're going a little bit off track, but this is why I always kind of say, and I've had a few people ask me, because so just to give you a little background, anyone who's listening, I used to be like 200 pounds and I somehow managed to drop it down to like 175. But when people ask me how I did that, I said just exercise. And when it came to the diet part for me, what worked, yeah, I'm not like super chiseled and like all that, but I'm in good shape. I fit well into my clothes and I'm in good shape. It's because I basically, that color, that Canada's food guide thing we got in grade school, I pretty much follow that sort of thing where eat your fruits, eat your vegetables, eat your bread, eat a little bit of everything in moderation and just, enjoy your life. So I think if there are people out there like me who are going to read this article and stress out, don't, because just eat everything in moderation. Like if you have aspartame containing foods, like pudding, for example, just don't eat too much pudding. You know what I mean? Like, just eat a little less pudding and you'll be fine.
Good practical, essentially take home and application of that. Yeah. That's exactly what you said. And just to add something, another point from the article, it's so the ADI is the acceptable daily intake.
Yeah.
And so essentially for aspartame, right, it's you'll read studies about it causing problems and causing cancer, for example. And so you'll see those studies were specifically designed, for example, to determine the point at which they would cause effects, harmful effects. And so, for example, there was a study that will get cited often for aspartame. It involved rats. And so there's actually lots of rat studies that show aspartame intake related to a health problem like cancer, for example. But that was the very point of the study in that instance. So what happened, for example, in what happens in those studies, a lot of them, is they increase the dosage until the problems arise. Then they calculate the human equivalent dosage and then factor in 100-fold safety margin. And that's usually a rough ballpark for usual estimation of the ADI. So how they estimate the acceptable daily intake for humans. So the safety margin that they put in these from determining the dose you need to take to have a negative impact on your body and the actual, what they recommend as your maximum daily intake, that safety margin is not a order of magnitude, but it's like two orders of magnitude difference between that. So it's when you don't take just the, another important point is not to take the abstract of an article or even like a small piece of a conclusion of a research or literature and take that alone. You need to definitely understand thoroughly what the literature is talking and discussing and how that will translate into actual practical and applicable, actionable events and things you can do with that information. So that's something also I think is very important. And so what you said about the eat moderation, one of the most commonly and widely used phrases because it is the most effective summary of all of that. Is if you take all of the studies and you take all of the, and you have all of these research groups and study groups and like organizations whose job it is to regulate, moderate food, study foods, chemicals, all of that stuff, right? We have our global systems that are designed to take care of it. And if you took all of that and then followed all of the advice given by everyone to the best that you could and summarized it with one sentence, you would say exactly what you said.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it also speaks to not, like just in general, if it's something that, because I know a lot of people, especially if you don't really understand the science behind this sort of thing, or if you're like me where you see these sorts of things and it just stresses the hell out of you, why not just... That, like, that's why I would say to them, like, don't stress about it, just eat in moderation. But like, I definitely get for those of you like you who have very specific goals, it makes sense to really take this kind of thing into consideration. But one thing to, like, I still like, I read through the whole article, like I finished reading it just now, but one thing I'm still taking with a grain of salt is it says that aspartame is safe, but nowhere in it does it say it's necessarily like good for you. Right, that it's nutritious for you. Right, it's more so that it's safe. So just like if anybody is listening, like don't like keep that in mind that it's not necessarily it doesn't give you any added benefits necessarily, but it's still safe.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we're trying to say.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like if I want to have diet sodas, for example, as a means to cope, or if someone wants diet sodas once in a while to drink, then they can know that the aspartame portion of that, you know, it's one of the most stringently and thoroughly studied and tested things
there.
And so because of that, don't worry about the long-term safety. When you also follow the advice of balance and moderation, because that's the easiest way to take all of this and package it
as one piece of advice. Yeah, don't go chugging diet sodas every day, please.
So a little bit more info. Shrek is in chemistry, background chemistry in pharmacy, right?
Hmm? Yeah. Oh my god, long time ago, but yes.
Yeah, so he has a lot of knowledge in that area.
Yeah. All right, so why don't we move on then?
Yeah.
So I actually wanted to talk about, which I was kind of telling you about this earlier, but so I just came across this company called Medicine in Toronto, and they are basically designing an app which is like an Uber for doctors. Mm-hmm. So just a little bit of like I'm background, but I'm really into like digital health innovations and that sort of thing. And even just learning about them, it's a part of my degree too, but even just finding out about these sorts of things. So Medicine is basically, they've come up with an Uber for doctors. So the way it works is as the patient can pretty much subscribe for this app. You pay whatever the fee is, I forget, but I think it's a monthly, it's almost like a subscription service sort of. And you basically, when you need a doctor to make a house call, so there's a certain amount of doctors in your area that are going to be signed up for this app. And when you need a doctor to come to you, if they're free, you literally just, it works like Uber, where you say, I need a doctor, and you kind of write down what your reason is. Oh, I have a headache or a stomachache or something like that. And a doctor will literally be driven to you, which I think is really cool. And the other thing, the other big benefit of it is that it saves the government a lot of money, because that's a lot less money that they're spending on physicians' offices, doctors' offices. That's a lot less money that they're spending behind that. This way, the doctors are just coming straight to you.
That's really, it's awesome.
Yeah,
I'm surprised that's not been done before. That's not like something that
no, and that's the thing. It's when you see these types of like innovative ideas coming out, that's when you're like, oh yeah, this hasn't been done before. But until you like someone doesn't do it, you don't realize that it's missing, right?
Yeah. Sometimes though, it's like almost like you think it's so, maybe for me, just for like some ideas, like I think it's so obvious that I already think someone exists out there,
yeah,
that I just haven't found them. But then, no, yeah, you're right. Sometimes it actually hasn't been done. Maybe not just because of the idea itself, right? But the cost of execution.
Yeah.
So yeah, all of the resource demands and the actual business and real life demands that growing this idea out into a business, actually, like all the demands that actually exist for that.
Yeah.
You know, might be large enough that's why it's not been done before successfully, at least.
Yeah.
That's why at least maybe you might not have heard of a solution yet that's, you know, widespread.
Sorry guys, my mom called. So what were we talking about? Yeah, medicine. And you know what? The other thing too is that, I lost my point. But I think it's interesting when companies come up with these kind of ideas, because these are the type of things, especially in Canada, that are so necessary. Like in the US, they already have, I'm not sure if they have an Uber for doctors, but they definitely have, they already have inbuilt services where doctors still are able to make house calls. These are the type of things in Canada that we don't necessarily have, I guess, because we have like a universal funding structure that we don't have the money to actually pay for doctors to make those house calls. But it's something that needs to be brought back, you know, because we as patients, a lot of the times, maybe not for us, but for elderly patients, people who are incapacitated, it's hard for them to leave the house, right? So these are the types of things that we need to be able to make their lives a lot easier.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I definitely can relate to that, because I've had in the recent past, an experience with people I know where, yeah, that definitely would have been useful. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering what you guys think too. I mean, is this type of service useful? Do you think that you would find it useful, or maybe your grandparents or something, that they would find this type of service useful? Comment, let us know at CommandSK on Twitter.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because it's funny. I know someone who their grandparents, you know, if that service were to be offered to them, they're the type of people that are, even though their health might be in a deteriorating condition, as with all people who as you get older and older, right, especially in your senior years, but they would refuse to have a doctor or nurse even, or anyone actually come and help and support them. They'd rather, even in whatever state of health they would be in, attempt to take themselves wherever they need to go to get things done.
Yeah. And that's where it's really important for healthcare to be patient-centered. I say it all the time, like when I'm at school and we're having these discussions, but Canada, even though like we have free healthcare and it's so amazing and people compliment us for it, our healthcare services haven't always been patient-centered. It's always been about, you've seen the doctor once, so you need to wait and come back in a few days, and then we'll be able to see you again. Because doctors, they basically charge, about most of them anyways, charge for a fee for service. So it's not I can see you as many times as I want. It's every time I see you, there's a charge that I bill the government for. So that's why there's a little bit of that delay there. So that's why it's really important through services like these that we focus more on the patient's needs and what we can do to address them, pretty much. But anyways, I think we should move on, because I can talk about this forever and ever. But let's move on to tech. So, I mean, thing that you want to talk about.
Yeah, so we're both tech fans, tech fanatics, enthusiasts, whatever. Like, I especially am way more. I'm an engineer, so I like to consider things from an engineering angle.
You guys can't see me, but I'm rolling up my sleeves. I'm getting ready for this one.
And so, yeah, I'm also an Apple fan, as people would know me as. Everyone who knows me that I'm the greatest Apple geek in their circle, which is true. But yeah, so I just got, for my birthday, got to thank my parents. They gave me a unexpected gift. I wasn't expecting to buy one, the new iPhone X. So I've had it for a couple of days. And
First things first, Karin, sorry to interrupt, but is it iPhone X or is it iPhone X?
Oh, God, no.
Clear it up.
I shouldn't have, whatever I said the first time, if I messed that up, then I think my Apple fan card is going to be revoked. I think I just lost everything.
Well, what is it? Is it 10 or X? Because I actually don't know what's correct.
It's iPhone 10.
10, right? iPhone okay. 10, yeah. Anyone who says X, you guys suck.
No.
You don't suck.
Yeah, sure, X sucks. No, anyways, moving on. So I got the iPhone 10, and I have some observations already from using it for a few days, and thoughts around it. You know, a lot of it's probably mirrored by other people you've listened to. If you've heard about tech experts' opinions and thoughts and reviews on the iPhone X, and you know, I have mostly the same, probably the same conclusions to come of the phone. First, like, thing I would say is definitely it harkens back to the original design in a lot of ways, and it gives me a sense of nostalgia a little bit.
I think so.
A little bit. And like, I'm mostly really, really enjoying this phone. I enjoy the display, the design, as everyone already has probably pointed out. Some things that I noticed about it, like the notch, I completely forgot about it after a day of use. So now whenever I use the phone, it's not that big of a deal. I think one factor though that I was trying to analyze myself as I use the phone and what changed and you know, looking at it from that perspective, because of the screen is so tall and it's like a vertically tall screen, a lot of the iOS landscape elements that with the big iPhone, you can use it in landscape for a lot of things, like on the home screen, like almost like a mini iPad in a lot of ways. But then this phone, it's actually taller, but it's less wide. So it's like a stretched, like, you know, those memes you see of the iPhone 100 being like a lightsaber, right?
That's where we're heading, Kurt.
It's like, that's right. So it's like it's elongated. And because of that, it's a tall vertical screen, which you use in portrait predominantly.
Right.
And so because of that, it's like a lot of the times when you're going through content, you're scrolling and reading, and it's like a vertical scroll essentially. And because of that notch at the top, you're not always like going to the top and checking it out or whatever. You're usually, you know, you're consuming the screen because of the small bezels and all of that fun stuff. So I didn't notice it as much as I thought. And like the reasons why were more clear when looking at like the design decisions behind it, I think. But it could just be a coincidence, and the fact that it's a really expensive phone, and when you buy it, you kind of want to justify every single reason that you bought it for. But anyways, the camera is good, the screen's good, the design's good. I really like it, and Shrek hates the notch.
Oh, I hate that effing notch. Oh my god, I can't even begin with that notch. Granted, I don't have an iPhone 10. I want to get a new iPhone. I'm debating between the 8 Plus and the 10. Right now, I'm definitely gravitating towards the 8 Plus because of that effing notch. Oh my god. So, like, watching a YouTube video, for example. Okay, if it's like a darker video or whatever where it's not that, you won't notice it, fine. But most of the time, it's going to be there. If you're watching just random YouTube videos, you're going to see the notch. And I'm the type of person where my eye would go straight to it, and it has.
Yeah, so for me too, but that's one of the downsides, and also this is how the phone handles it, right? So you have two modes. When you're watching video, you have the expanded mode, and you have the standard mode. So the expanded mode is when it'll fill all of the corners of the screen and you'll see the notch in the video. The standard one is when it will not...
Letterbox it a little bit, right?
Yeah, but essentially the letterbox version, it essentially makes it look like an iPhone 8. So essentially what happens is you'll cut off the left and right in black bars I'm gesturing towards Shrek here.
He's gesturing, guys. Don't worry.
So it essentially looks like an iPhone 8 like this.
And at that point, I'm fucking pissed. Like, just
what's the point of that, right?
Why did I pay 13, guys? Okay, I don't know about wherever you live, but in Canada it's 1300 Canadian dollars.
I got it as a gift because it was on a discount. I'm gonna say that's all I
oh god Kurt, well I mean the, I mean I'm happy for you, man, but like $1300, like I can't afford that for a phone.
Don't buy something that, you know, you don't need.
And this is a very, these are small things. I'm just, as you'll, if you guys, hopefully, we really hope you continue listening to us, but you'll learn that I'm a very picky, picky person. That camera setup on the back, it's so ugly. Like it actually detracts from the phone. Like with the iPhone 7 Plus and 8 Plus, yes, it's a similar size kind of pillbox shaped camera setup. But at least the way they've done it, it kind of blends in more with the design. With the iPhone 10, because they only have the white and the black backs, or the whatever, silver and black backs or whatever they are, it sticks out like a sore thumb. There's no other kind of color options, or somehow they just haven't integrated it in properly. Second thing is that it's, what was I going to say? So the front-facing portrait camera, I get that it's a software thing and it'll probably be fixed. But until then, I mean, it when you take a front-facing portrait photo, it blurs out, always blurs out the top part where your hair is usually. And it's like, what's the point of that? It looks like I did it myself and I blurred out the background myself and I did a terrible job. So it's like, why would I spend that kind of money on an iPhone? I mean, I'm glad you have it, but like I wouldn't spend that kind of money. So just be wary, guys.
And that was an episode of Shrek's Rants. That was a really good...
That was my first rant ever, guys.
Yeah, I love his rants. They're the best. I completely forgot what I was... I was going to say something about the phone, but then I'm like just enamored by his ranting. It's just so beautiful. It's a great thing.
Right.
Such a, just listening to him and then imagining me just like, I don't know, taking a pillow and stuffing his face.
Yeah.
No, but no, his criticisms are valid and they're, you know... So I'm just talking about my experience using the phone. For anyone who's like, because I know a lot of people are interested in it. It's the newest, latest iPhone. It's the 10th anniversary edition iPhone, hence iPhone 10. And so it's something that is genuinely special from Apple's perspective as well as, you know, from...
And if there's... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Finish. He still wants to rent boys and girls.
No, finish.
Huh? Oh, no.
No, I was going to say, well, if there's anyone like me who sees that price tag and they start... shitting their pants, just wait. I might just consider waiting until the iPhone, they release like an upgraded version of the iPhone 10 and then buying the iPhone 10 at like a subsidized price when they like drop the price.
Yeah,
I'd sooner do that than buy it right now full price. Like that's just insanity, unless like you're very passionate about it like Karin is. maybe then, and if you can afford it, otherwise.
Yeah, so actually we'll talk a little bit about rumors concerning the next generation iPhone already, because of course as soon as the latest iPhone comes out, the next iPhone after that is already rumored to, you know, the rumors start pouring in. So specifically for the next version, so one of the rumors is as time goes on, of course technology miniaturizes, and if we take a look at the notch of the iPhone 10, Apple actually bought PrimeSense a few years back. So that's the company that created the original Microsoft Kinect. And so that Kinect system, if you remember it, it was almost like a small version of a soundbar, which you would put near your TV, and that would track your motions and allow you to do motion control. And so essentially the original Kinect size was, I don't know exactly how big, but like was like probably if you were to sit down, you know, with your legs just at your hip width, I think it would be about that distance between your left knee and your right knee.
Right.
So it would be... it was sizable, right? And so all of that technology, I'm not sure if the technology is even more advanced now, probably is packed into that same notch, that same small area at the top of the iPhone 10. So if we take a look at, it was 2007, I believe, and when the Kinect was released, and probably the technology was integrated into the iPhone 10 like last year, if not the year before. So in about 9-10 years, we took it from the size of a pretty sizable, you know, set of dimensions of what the original Kinect was, to track all of those and have those sensors built in and all that technology. And right now that all of that has fit into what is essentially something that's smaller than, I don't know, your finger, right? So if we, you know, we're not going to extrapolate like linearly about that development of technology or the advancement of technology, but if the rumors are true, then what's going to happen is that over time, starting with as early as possible this year's iPhone, the notch area is going to get smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
And so the specific rumor is like this next iPhone, that notch is going to get smaller because some of the elements within the camera system. So this camera system is pretty complex, right? There is a front-facing camera, speaker, microphone, I believe. But there's also a dot projector, an IR sensor, a flood illuminator, and more. And so essentially what's going to happen is some of those pieces are going to be combined into the camera in future releases. And it's going to shorten the width of the notch. So it's going to make it less prominent. And I believe also like they could, the height of the notch could also get decreased if the sensors get smaller. So that's essentially a summary of I think what to expect. And based on
that reminds me. So for that damn notch, that's why, see, I don't understand why, and I'm sure you'll give a perfectly logical explanation, but why Apple couldn't have just put the notch a little bit above the screen, like the Samsung Galaxy Note 8 essential phone.
It's called the bezel.
The bezel.
Not the essential phone has, because it only has a camera, it doesn't have any sensors.
Oh, no, the Essential has that little tiny kind of bump of a knot. Never mind, not the Essential. Samsung Galaxy Note 8, OnePlus 5T, those type of phones. I'm in my feelings about this. So they have really tiny bezels at the top where all that technology is fit in, and maybe at the bottom, I don't remember if they all do, but if needed... Comment on Twitter if anyone would have minded if Apple had done that. Honestly, like at Command SK, let us know, because I really think they could have done that, and then I would have been in love with the phone. Like I don't care that it's, I mean it's nice, but I don't care that it's full screen. I'd rather have the camera set up a little bit separate so you get that full screen to yourself and not have that damn notch cut in there.
that's the trade off. You know, it's like if you take a look at online polls or whatever, participate in those, take a look and get opinions of people online, especially in the tech industry, even like you get usually a 50-50 split of people who prefer one over the other, right? So it's like no matter which decision you make, one of them is the safer option, which is the Samsung, and the other option is the more bold option, which is
innovative, disruptive.
And so, so here's another rumor that's interesting. So the Galaxy, Samsung specifically, I think this came out last week as well. It's either a rumor or a patent. I believe it's a patent filed for essentially how Samsung would fix the notch in a future Samsung Galaxy phone. And essentially what they would do is within the housing of the display, they would have holes cut out specifically for the sensors. So instead of having a dedicated area, so imagine you have the notch, right? It's like imagine a small rectangle in the center of the screen, like the notch. That area doesn't have a display. It just has sensors, right? But what if the whole screen was the display? And you actually drilled holes for the sensors into the display itself. So essentially the patent covers Samsung's way around what Apple is doing with by using drilling holes essentially into the display and putting like a camera hole, putting in a sensor hole for 3D depth mapping, mm-hmm. example. Mm-hmm. So that's was an interesting find and something that maybe Apple would implement as well, or a variation of that. So that's fascinating. It's seeing all these different technology solutions to this. So to basically getting to the future that we all want, which is a bezel-less full display phone, right? Yeah. We're so close, and yet we're so notch.
But
yeah, worst puns coming from me.
So punny.
But yeah, so that was a bit on the iPhone 10. A lot of hopefully nothing, not too much rehashing of what you probably already heard online, but some interesting facts, rumors, opinions, perspectives, all that stuff. What else? Oh, yeah, so my last name is Pandia, so a lot of people call me Panda. So I decided to get the Panda phone, which has a white back and the black front. And then I had my favorite emoji is the panda emoji, but then this phone also has, as everyone knows, an emoji with a panda emoji. So that's mine, Panda phone. So it's become my Panda phone because, like, it just works. So I just wanted to say that, you know, just wanted to add that.
Cue the cricket noises. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So yeah, ending off on that beautiful, ugly note. So yeah, that was the iPhone 10.
Nice. All right. Well, I guess we should move on then to interesting finds. So is there anything you want to talk about?
Yeah. So just this would be where we, you know, just talk about things we want to share that we found online. So this could be like any. Thing related to new TV shows, articles, news, funny or interesting or entertaining things that we found online. And so like if people who know me also know that I love the movie Interstellar, so I really love it, and the music especially, I am in love with it.
He does, it's true.
Yeah. And so there's, I can't believe I haven't, like, this was the first time I saw this or listened to this as well. But so I subscribe to a lot of channels on YouTube. And one of the channels recently did like a reaction video to, I don't know if it's not called a remix, but I'll call it that for now. It's like an Interstellar music remix video thing. And holy crap, it is hauntingly beautiful and I'm in love with it. And I'm going to listen to it for the rest of, every day for the rest of the
day. He had me listen to it today. It's actually really good.
Yeah.
It's really good meditative music. If anyone, any yoga fans or any like... Yes. Any people like doing meditation, this is the type of music you want. We'll sure put the link in the description probably or something like that.
The show notes, yeah. Yeah, because like, a little bit more background. Me and Shrek are both Indian, Indian backgrounds.
Just
like,
putting it out there.
But culturally, I'm very Canadian culturally. But this Interstellar remix is actually, it's an Indian, not Indian remix specifically, but it's like the band or the music group that created this, and the instrumental themes that are added to it, like the little the sprinkles of different instruments, you know, for the remix are actually, it's like Indian.
It's got like an Indian flavor to it. I'm getting hungry. It's got like an Indian flavor to it. Yeah. It reminds you of India, sort of.
Like but it sounds like weird when I'm describing it, maybe, but like, holy crap, it's amazing. Definitely
check it
out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, one thing I wanted to talk about is, people might know of the show. It's called Grace and Frankie. It's on Netflix. They're on their fourth season now. And I mean, I know it's not the type of show that you're usually, I would think, gonna hear a guy recommend, but it's actually really, really funny. If anyone knows Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, they're two like legendary actresses. I mean,
sorry about that, guys. I got a phone call in the middle of the podcast. It keeps happening. Anyways, back on track. So,
what were we talking about?
Grace and Frankie.
Right. Okay.
Which great. I have not seen, by the way, which I'm interested in watching after hearing the Shrek's opinion on it.
Well, I mean, so like I was saying, Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, I mean, they're two very like legendary actresses. I think they're in their like 70s and 80s now. So, but the basically the premise of the show, without spoiling it, is Grace and Frankie are two elderly women in their 70s who their husbands are friends. They've known each other their pretty much their whole life, and they've been married to each of their husbands for many years at this point. And one day they're both called to the restaurant where their husbands tell them that they're leaving them for each other. So Grace and Frankie's husbands are gay and they're getting married. So that's basically where the whole story starts and how everything kind of spirals out from there. And it's just really interesting to see how they cope with life after that and how they kind of get back on their feet and how they kind of move ahead and take their next steps together, and just their chemistry as well. They're frenemies in real life and in on the show as well. So it's just interesting to see the back and forth and how surprisingly witty and relevant it is for people our age, considering how old they are. So I definitely recommend watching it. Plus, it also really puts into perspective that, I know it sounds cheesy, but like at any age, life doesn't stop. You can still move on. You can still, you know, move on to this. It's never your last act until you die, pretty much. So I think it's definitely worth watching.
Inspiring.
But yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, definitely. It sounds really interesting, and I definitely want to, I have a long queue of shows that I have to watch, but I think I'll move this up definitely.
Yeah, definitely worth the watch.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's the only thing I really wanted to talk about for that.
It's a busy time for both of us. So it's like, you know, there's not as much entertainment stuff that we go through as usual. Like in the summer, usually it'll definitely be a lot more free time. There will be more, I guess, opportunity to actually, you know, enjoy life.
Yeah, and discover new things, and hopefully if we get more and more people on listening to our podcast, share them with you guys. And if you guys find anything interesting, share it with us too at Command SK, shameless plug. And you know, let us know. We're also trying to learn new things, discover new things. So, you know, we never know what will come of something being shared with us. So definitely share with us as well.
Yeah, for sure. So that was the first episode of our podcast. Hopefully you guys enjoyed listening to us.
If not, then I'm so sorry.
Yep, Shrek's very sorry.
Otherwise, let us know what you'd like to hear about next time at Command SK on Twitter. These are the three idiots in a minivan driving away.